You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon.
Good Friday morning.
It was confusing, because all I wanted to do was be
703. Getaway day.
Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. I'm finally, because I think I'm getting so huge. I need a strength. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm acting weirder than you think.
Amazon's going to buy Whole Foods, otherwise known as Whole Paycheck. Yeah, sorry there, sports fans. Once Amazon gets a hold of it, you know they're buying them for the name and the storefront. That's right. You know, there was a political theory advanced by a guy, I don't know, I heard it on a guy named Michael Smirkanish, who's a pretty down-the-middle-of-the-road guy. I enjoy the work that he does. He's a talk show host out of Philadelphia. You see him on CNN, of all places, at times. And there's a theory advanced during the last election about the number of counties that had a Whole Foods in it, and I want to say something like 80-something percent voted for Hillary Clinton, and there was a similar percentage if your county had a Cracker Barrel. Yeah, it was like the Whole Foods Cracker Barrel Index and the way they went in the election. So that's right, the hoity-doities tipped towards the Democratic side. The Cracker Barrel people eating that good gravy at Cracker Barrel, they like more conservative candidates. The news today, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about, mercifully, we'll talk about food today. And then you're probably going to hear that testimony from Secretary Mattis. Big news today, in case you haven't heard, Russia has, I don't know, floated a story that they may have killed the Islamic State leader outside of Raqqa. So, so we'll see. We'll see. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi supposedly was killed in late May, along with other senior commanders. But trying to validate that, not so easy. Now, I would say this. The way you do that is you have people that listen to people. Right? They sit around and they listen to conversations. Your counter-intel guys. And girls. So they sit there, they listen to cell conversations, messages, blah, 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 and they paint a picture. And normally when somebody like that gets whacked, there's a whole lot of communication going on. And that's normally how you verify it. We had an incident where we were tracking one guy that we had intel on. It was from a human source in Afghanistan. And I should get Rudy on to talk about this, but this was like the F-18 shot from, it was incredible. So the vehicle's on the move going through the desert, right? 30 miles an hour, or at least in that desert. It was just, you know, not a whole lot of vegetation in that part of Afghanistan in the Helmand River Valley. They're hauling ass down this road. F-18 hits it with a 1,000-pound bomb. Yeah, on the fly. Boom. And then, And, oh, by the way, they had like a number of IEDs in the trunk. So then the whole world lights off relative to electronic transmissions. And the little geeks of intelligence, oh, my God, they were running around like crazy people. Because not only were there one bad guys in that vehicle, there was four. Yeah, all with their own unique names. So these people have names. Objective Cuba, probably not a good name. You know, Objective, you know, Wheeler, right? So they have all these names. So, yeah. Wheeler, Crystal, right? Fish, and, you know, give one more name. We're all in this, and we're like, whoa. Like, and then you have to go through the process of confirmation, which is not, my point is, it's not easy, trying to get that kind of information. But normally what you hear when those guys light it off, pretty accurate. Pretty accurate. And the interesting piece was they thought that that one of the IEDs went off in the vehicle that they were transporting. And so, so no fuss, no muss. No, nobody got, we didn't even get blamed for it. So anyway, that's the first story. The second story that's high on the list is, much in the news has been, that Secretary Mattis would have, control over the number of troops that are in Afghanistan. And, as of yesterday afternoon, stories came out that the Pentagon will send another 4,000 additional American forces to Afghanistan. Trump administration officials announced on Thursday, hoping to break a stalemate in a war that has now passed to a third U.S. commander in chief. The deployment will be the largest American manpower under Donald Trump's young presidency. The decision made by Secretary Mattis could be announced as early as next week. So, again, it'll be interesting to hear Secretary Mattis and to give the end state, probably not the right word, but there's work to be done in order to secure Afghanistan. And, for the people that say, you know what, just walk away from it, you know, how do you destabilize an area and then as the United States, how do you destabilize an area and then just walk away like you're another country? Like you're Belize or something. Yeah, you know, we tried, we're out. Yeah. So I don't know that it works like that. I know people want to do it, you know, chiefly among us, our political advisors, right? Hey, just unass Afghanistan. Who needs it? Right? Is that the way? So, I mean, if you want to see American credibility on the planet go to an even lower ebb, then I think there's your course of action. Just walk away from it. But I think there's a course of action. And, you know, look, if Secretary Mattis can't figure it out, there's not probably too many people that can. But it's a whole series of things that have to happen. It's not simply military. And but the military certainly got a role. And again, paying for the sins of Barack Obama, who yanked us out of there in a way that wasn't condition based. And so, to me, I think we started a bunch of that stuff. Okay, I mean, to me, the time to leave was after we did our thing. If you hear General Zinni talk about it, you go in, you kill Bin Laden, and you tell them, hey, this stuff's never going to happen again, or we won't let you stack two rocks on top of each other in this country, and you leave because you don't want Afghanistan. But somebody made that decision that we were going to stay, and then somebody else made the decision that we were going to expand the war. And then you expand the war, and then somebody else decides, yeah, we're out of here. I mean, come on, that's clown stuff, honestly. And again, I'm not a Barack Obama hater, but if you look at the actions he took around the world, he was a weak president. He thought he could talk to Iran, which is a joke, and he leaves Iraq, creates a situation that ISIS is allowed to grow up inside of, which was predicted. And so, I think, again, history is going to judge him. You know, whatever socially he did good in the United States, the Affordable Care Act can't withstand, you know, its own economics. The executive orders that he ordered will mostly be undone. The president's down in Florida today. He will announce, as I guess sometime this morning, that he's rolling back some of that which President Obama did by executive order. So I think history's going to judge him as a guy who governed with the executive order and who was weak in terms of our foreign policy. And now do we live with his weakness? I don't think we can. I don't think we can. Not as the United States. We could, if we want to, you know, we want to be some B team event, I guess we could. But that doesn't bode well for the rest of the planet if we don't get our act together, if we don't do the right things, if we don't stand for the right thing. So, and then, but anyway. All right. We're going to talk food a little bit today. So I'm late for that. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem this morning. Hope you're having a good Friday. Hope you have a great weekend planned in what has been not a great week. Not a great week. So hopefully something good comes out of it. And again, as you think about this week in the rearview mirror, hopefully Congress gets a message that, you know what, you need to behave better. You need to act better. Right? When on both sides of the aisle, when you see plays like the one that's going on in New York City, there should be bipartisan condemnation of that. You know, it's just, I don't care who it is, it's wrong. And you even had Ted Nugent, you know, coming out yesterday saying, you know what, I need to tone the rhetoric down because you have people that act on this kind of stuff. And it's wrong. The things he said about Barack Obama were equally as wrong. So anyway, good morning to you. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I ran across this the other day, and it's about the Pledge of Allegiance. It's about 4 minutes, so bear with me. It's by Red Skelton.
Getting back back to school, getting back to school. I remember a teacher that I had.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Red Skelton years ago was a comedian. Now, he goes into this little bit about the Pledge of Allegiance, and people in the audience at first think it's a bit of comedy routine, okay? But it's not. So have a listen.
Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell.
God bless America.
He says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representative chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation. One nation. Meaning, so blessed by God. Indivisible. Incapable of being divided. With liberty, which is freedom. The right of power to live one's own life. Without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice. The principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Red Skelton, a little hokey, huh?
What?
Breaks it down for you, though.
Gyrated with a jazzy jet.
Quick check of the weather. Then we're going to talk food for a few minutes. A little bit. No, we'll talk food for more than a few minutes. Currently in Quantico, cloudy 75. Camp Lejeune, partly cloudy, 79 right now with some weather situations out there. Granbury, Texas, mostly sunny, 83. Big Timber, Montana, partly cloudy and all the way up to 62 in Montana. How crazy is that? 49 Palms, sunny and 75. Camp Pendleton, mostly cloudy, 58. Camp Smith in Hawaii, cloudy, dark, 76. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, 71. Fallujah, sunny and 104. The home of All Marine Radio, partly sunny, 62. Looking for a high of all the way up to 83 in sunny Southern California today. So, with that said, we're going to take a quick break. The All Marine Radio. Hey, just want to give a shout out to all my listeners on the in the Western Pacific. Just got a message from one of them. So keep your head down. Good luck with that Western Pacific humidity. All Marine Radio on a Friday continues here on the coolest network on the planet, the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit, into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Oh, my God, it is early. 729 here on the West.
Yeah.
On the West Coast. Not too early for the All Marine Radio head chef to join us, though.
Oh, baby, I've been up since 5 o'clock.
Really? What have you been doing?
You know, I've just been watching the morning news and stuff.
Oh, my God. Stay away from
it. I get more and more depressed every time I turn it. I can't get away from that crap. It just follows me around.
I know.
Along with the rest of this country.
I know.
The pathetic situation we're in. And, you know, one bad news story after another. And, you know, I choose not to deal with it. And, you know.
Well, it sounds like it's dealing with you, though.
Well, it just disappoints me.
Yeah.
When you know, you figured after Nixon resigned and the Vietnam War was over, you know, and then all of a sudden, well, you talked about it earlier this morning about pulling out troops in the Middle East, and it's just depressing. That's all.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
I'm bon ton, roulez bon ton. Let the good times roll.
You're right.
And it's pretty hard to do that in today's world. But you know me. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to let the good times roll. And
no, but I will tell you, it's... The news doesn't seem to be too good too often, but I think even more concerning, Kim, at the end of this week is, you know, but for the grace of God, 20 congressmen and staffers are dead. You know, the only reason those they're not dead is because that guy didn't plan what he was doing very well. If he walks in the first on the first base side where the gate was open with that long rifle. He and them all in an enclosed area, he kills a lot of people. And,
the Capitol, police saved the day.
Right. Well, you know, and again, I would say, yeah, yes, they did. Absolutely. Their heroic action taking him on. But if he was better, a little bit better planner and he walks in the right gate, a lot of people dead. And so to me, if they as a group don't sit down and look at this and say, hey, you know something? We've got to stop this craziness, okay? The craziness, all right? And look, there's a measure of civility that we need to reintroduce to our discourse. And we have to stop the whole burn it down thing. And to include the way we conduct business. I mean, maybe at first we just start with social norms, okay? The way they talk. But then, you know, hey, yeah. At the end of the day, you know, stop with the burn it down. You know, there's a real health care issue that really needs to be dealt with. And so.
You're right.
So, I mean, that's,
you're right.
That's to me what's most distressing is we now live in a day and age where we can't pass budgets, we can't compromise. And you and I both know a former senator by the name of Byron Dorgan, and I've quoted him as saying, compromise is the lubricant of democracy. It's what makes it go. And now, right. If you do compromise, the only thing you will assure yourself of is a contested primary in your own party. You can't do it anymore. And it's just not... It's lame. It's as lame. It's as lame as lame gets.
Well, until the Congress and Senate stand up to it and says, "Look, I'm here to serve the country and my people, and we got to stop this craziness, and we have to get along." Until they have the balls to compromise. Nothing's going to happen, and that's a shame. And they're it's on both sides of the fence.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
There are no sacred cows in this show. They all should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, did they do anything after Gabby Gifford got shot in Arizona? Not a freaking thing. Are they going to do anything now that a congressman's in critical condition and another one got shot and Stafford got shot? Probably not. Right. They'll talk the talk, but they won't walk it.
That's what I find most discouraging.
I agree.
So you look to the future of the country and you say, well, where does it go? I mean, if we can't do those kind of things, where the hell does it go? How do we do, you know? So I don't know. I mean, it's certainly distressing. You watched what happened this week, and again, then you watch the way they behave, and just like you shake your head and you think, you know, this is the leadership of the United States of America. This is it. And so, and again, and that goes, and again, like you just said. Goes for everybody. The president, Congress, everybody needs to put the citizens of this country and honor the oath that they took. And it just seems like it's so difficult these days.
It's all about money, Mac. It's all about how much I can make when I'm in office. My God, they get health care, they get a pension. There are not many jobs that get guaranteed health care and pensions, is there? No, but the damn Congress does, that's a serious perk.
It's not the health care they're offering you either.
No, come on, you know better than that.
Come on, man.
They don't take care of anybody in this country other than themselves and their rich buddy friends, and they dropped all the money into their fund to get elected, and because they know that they're going to vote for the big money. Cats like you and me, we're screwed, and it's been that way for a long time, and it just wears a person down that has voted in every election since John LBJ for me, and
you had to be 21.
I had to be 21.
Right.
So I've never missed a presidential election or wherever I was living. I moved around so much, but you know. When I lived in California, I voted there. So I don't know what to say. I guess I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but it just makes me sick to my stomach. I wake up every day going, well, what's going to happen today? What headlines are going to splash across. It doesn't matter whatever TV show you're watching.
Yeah.
You know, it comes on. breaking news, breaking news. I've heard that goddamn saying so many times in the last 140 days. I just want to throw up.
Well,
anyway, it's just and
you want to talk about you want to talk about avocados now?
I want to talk about any damn thing about food you want to talk about, sweetheart. It does not matter to me. I'll talk about cran raisins. I just don't care. And I can, you know, I can talk with you because you've got a brain and you know what's going on. I mean, it's just people, and I heard you earlier saying Ted Nugent is toning down his rhetoric. You think? You know, kill President Obama. You know, come on, man. You know, there are idiots out there that buy into this crap. And this guy the other day was probably one of them. But they're so screwed up in the head that they take the next step, buy a few more automatic weapons, and plot against the people in power or somebody that they don't agree with. It doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican. And then they go hunting. So, you know, come on. It's just freaking stupid.
You know, the one of the things that that I'm trying to think how it came up. But the I know it was during the whole, well, one of the episodes several months ago of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And so the solution is we're going to go out and kill cops. Okay. And then where are the adults in I'll pick on Black Lives Matter, and because that was a subject of conversation, but it's the same conversation. Where are the adults that stand up and say, hey, look, all lives matter. We're focused on the number of black men that get killed at the hands of law enforcement officers because we think the number's alarming. But we certainly don't believe that the solution to any of this is more death. That's what we want. That's what we want people to know. You didn't hear that though, and so you're watching this issue, right, play out nationally. It's like, where is that voice, man? Where is an adult that says an adult thing? So that's the way this is. It's just we're gonna go out and we're gonna protest, and then we're gonna riot a little bit and destroy some shit. And then police officers are going to get killed that have kids, that have wives, who didn't do anything to anybody to create this, but they're going to get ambushed by some whack job because the adults don't stand up and be heard. And then and I'll tell you what, and again, this is the same thing we bitch about the Middle East. Where is the condemnation from nations like Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, when some kind of crazy Islamic shit goes down? Where are they? And it's the same. It's like, where are the adults on the planet that say, yeah, that's not right. We don't stand for that. That is not the way.
Sitting on their hands. That's where they are. And they got duct tape over their mouth like Congress does. I mean, look. The president comes in and he preached infrastructure and jobs. And where does he focus? West Virginia and the coal miners, there's 53,000 jobs, and those are fading because everything's automated, and wind and solar is the.
Yeah, I don't want to get into politics. Okay, what I'm talking about is these kind of issues where you need adults to keep it focused on the issue and not let it get out towards the fringes where we riot and destroy stuff and where people get killed, in this case police officers, and nobody says anything. Nobody in that movement. You know, and then again, the Ted Nugent thing, wrong. The Kathy Griffin thing, wrong as wrong can be. Okay? The play in Central Park, where all of a sudden now it's the President of the United States that's getting stabbed. You know, that's wrong as wrong can be. And what you want is, you want both Democrats and Republicans to stand up and say, you know, that is clearly inappropriate and outside the bounds of what we believe ought to be known as entertainment in this country. You want them both to say that. And this concept of civil discourse, and in your mind, what I'd like you to hear is the McNeil-Lear NewsHour. And not the stupid ass screaming and yelling that goes on around this country. But again, it's this political thing fueled by political money. It is then compounded by a media that you make more revenue by being more shrill and more crazy. Okay? And that's the way you make more money. You drive more clicks to your website. You then take that to your advertisers and said, we're raising our rates because this month we went from 2.5 million clicks to 3.25 million clicks. And so we have a little bit more competition, so you've got to pay more money. That goes to the shareholders. Everybody happy. It's this unholy alliance of all of that. But it starts with our elected officials that can't keep it between the white lines and have to participate in this. And I don't know how the sad part is I don't know how it changes, and I don't know if they're capable of the change. You know? And so it's just I think it's very concerning for a lot of Americans who look at the future of the country and say, where does it go? And every person I've asked that question of, Kim, do you think that something like this, and again, Kim, there could have been 20 plus caskets in the rotunda of the Capitol this weekend instead of one congressman and one staffer still in the hospital, both in critical condition, both undergoing additional surgeries to try to fix their bodies from the gunshot wounds they suffered. Could have been 20 yep. plus caskets. And if that's not somebody throwing up and in on you, to use a baseball metaphor, and you don't pay attention to it, you know what? Then all you're doing is setting the stopwatch on the next more catastrophic event. You need to learn how to behave. You need to learn how to be respectful because the nation is following you, more disrespectful and crazier. All right. Should we take a break and come back? We'll talk avocados.
I can do that.
All right. The Almarin Radio head chef joins me. Both of us opining about the state of the nation. I'll read you a quick email.
You're pissed off about the state of the nation because it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Let me read you an
email. We've got too great a nation.
Mac, listening to you is furthering my depression. You and Kim need to please talk about avocados. I will say this, though. I share your concern, like I think most of us who have served share your concern. Our love of the country, our love of service, and what you see on TV is disgusting. I think at some point they need a better appreciation of the sacrifice that goes into this country so they can act nobly. But it seems like that is in far too few vocabularies, the word nobly, and they need to learn it. They should be humbled by the things they see around the country from first responders, from the people who serve the country, from social workers, all trying to make this a better place. They represent all of that. I just hope that this is the warning that you've talked about, and you're absolutely right. Hell, there could have been as many as 30 caskets in that rotunda.
That's right.
Enjoy the program.
That's a great email.
Enjoy the program.
Yeah, and let's talk food, baby.
Can't wait.
Let's brighten this weekend up for everyone.
Can't wait to hear All Avocado Radio. All right.
All Avocado Radio and Shish Kebab Radio.
Oh, we got to talk. That's right. We got to talk about that. The more of I haven't done my test yet, so the results are inconclusive. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah, you're gonna hear this argument next. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum, it's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. The Beach Boys. Actually, hold on. This is one of my All Marine Radio Head Chef bumpers. We continue.
Oh, baby, I love that song.
The Ed.
The wolf man here.
Okay, quit yelling into your phone and do your Wolfman Jack impersonation.
Oh, baby, this is the Wolfman. Can you see it? Look at the TMG. Going, ow,
you sound like you're dying. Are you okay?
I'm all right, but I don't have the pipes I used to. That's for sure.
All right, summer is here, and let me read you one more email. Mac, I'm dying to hear all avocado radio, to be honest. Kim is exactly right. In today's modern news age, it comes on your cell phone. It comes in front of your TV, whether you want it to or not, on that goddamn scroller at the bottom of the screen. No matter what you're watching, you see it. You cannot escape it. And where does it end? We're fighting everywhere on the planet, it seems. Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Somalia, in the Philippines, and oh, that fucking idiot in North Korea. Where do we get a break? And then he sends that poor kid home with some kind of brain injury, and that kid will never be the same. Please give us all avocado radio. This stuff is killing me this week. I want to beat the shit out of somebody.
All I can say, two things. Read a book or listen to music, and keep the TV off.
Yeah, and uninstall all those apps you downloaded. The Washington Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, and all those news alert things, uncheck those while you're at it. And then just go about your life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, life's a garden. Dig it, folks.
Yeah, no kidding.
Even though you pick the avocados off the tree.
Hold on. Here's another one. Hey, Mac, I'm up for all avocado radio, too. Don't forget Bill Cosby. What an asshole.
Yeah, America's dad, my age.
You know, no kidding. Hey, when you've been accused by 60 women of something, there might be something to that.
You think?
I'm not a detective.
No.
I do play one on the radio, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you give me... I know, make it stop, make it go away. So the avocado. Okay, first unfinished...
The beautiful avocado.
Unfinished business. Shish kebab, I haven't done my experiment yet. You did the experiment, and the question was this. If we turn steak twice, right, and Kim is very adamant, you only flip it one time, right? You grill it, right? Until X amount of time, or you get that good, you sear it, and then you flip it, you sear the other side indirect heat. So when we were talking about shish kebab, we started talking about quarter turns. And I said, why quarter turns? Because you only do steak on the half turn. And so I don't know that we got a good answer for that. But we talked about it. So then we concluded that we would do an experiment, and Kim and Beth, his lovely wife, did an experiment go ahead and report the results of your experiment.
Do you have your seatbelt on, Mac?
No, I don't. I don't normally wear one indoors.
Well, you should for this because I did it four turns, and I called it Bingo Bango Bongo Fury, and then I did two turns, Bingo Bango, and it really didn't make much of a difference.
Thank you. I'm glad you admitted that.
Here's
what does make sense to me. What does make sense to me is you made the comment that you liked a little bit of crunch on your shish kebab, and a lot of people do. They like a little bit of that sizzle on the outside, and that makes sense to me. So finish your report.
Beth wanted them at a lower heat, and I said she wanted it at 375, and the recipes I've read all say the burners on high and leave them on high, and then pay attention, and you know, like a minute and a half, 2 minutes aside, so I did it appropriately, when I got grill marks on each quarter, I turned them, you know, but when it was just the bingo bango, bingo bongo or whatever, the two flips, it was equally as good. The grill marks were a little darker because they stayed on the burner longer. And so that's what I'd probably do again. But you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
It's on high heat. And, you know, it's probably around, your grill probably cranks up to about 500 to 600 degrees.
Yeah, see, I'm a charcoal guy, so that would be a little bit more difficult. But I would be more inclined to follow Beth's logic, a little bit lower, because the meat's cut a little bit thinner, gives me a little bit more room to not pay attention. Slow cooks it,
yeah,
a little bit.
Well, you still have to pay attention because it's only a few minutes aside.
Right.
You know, just set yourself by the grill with a nice, tall, cool beverage
and
of your choice.
Right, and don't go anywhere.
Yeah, because that's the last thing. Everything else can be done and ready. And I find Beth happened to make some potato salad. And
happened to.
That's what she ate, and I ate wild rice, and which I liked it. I liked the wild rice because I can mix it with the flavors of the kebab, and also the key to a good kebab is to cut your vegetables the same size as you cut the meat. So they don't keep the meat off the grill, and then they'll all brown evenly, and that's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Okay, what did you stick between the kebabs? What kind of vegetables or fruit did you use?
Well, I started on each end. I put an apple rolled in. An apple slice rolled in cinnamon and sugar, and that caramelizes, and that's your sweet hit. Or you can use pineapple, which is equally as exquisite. And if you use pineapple, you just put that. I like to put them on the end, or you can put the meat on the end, and then put the fruit inside. And I have to have an onion, a piece of onions. Usually I quarter them and then cut them down. So there's like three layers of onion on the kebab. And I had, green, red and orange bell peppers. I think, green bell peppers get bitter. The colored peppers have sweetness to it. And then I had mushroom on there. And we used a baby bella. That's a small portobello mushroom. And it's closed. It's tight like a button mushroom. You can use those too, which is usually the average deal. And that works as well. And that was it. That's what we used.
Okay.
And they were great. Now, I saw another article that had all the vegetables on one skewer and the fruit on one skewer and all the meat on one skewer. And that could also be a great thing. And then when you serve it, you put the vegetables, scrape all the meat off the skewer and in the center, and then put the veggies and fruit around it on the outside so you have a real colorful presentation. And you could put it, all that on a bed of white rice or wild rice, and then pour any sauce you make out of the marinade over the meat, and so it soaks into the rice. We like wild rice because we can get it from the Native Americans in Bemidji, and they do the paddy rice where they go around in a canoe and shake the wild rice
right
into their canoe. And
it's a little bit different than what you get in your bag of rice at the grocery store. Yes.
Yes. Now, if you and they have it, it's more expensive out there. I pay about $5 a pound for it because I get it right from the source. But you can if you buy wild rice and it's almost black, you know, dark brown, it means it's been processed and roasted, and then it takes about an hour to cook. But if you have a long grain and it's brownish green in color, and it's a longer grain, and that is the wheelhouse you want to be in, because that cooks just about 20 minutes. Leave the lid on for another 10 to 20 minutes, and it's fluffy, and it has all the instructions on the package. And I'm sure, like Whole Foods or someplace like that, or your favorite grocery store, whatever, will have it. But I sent you a bag, didn't I, Mac?
Never.
Of
wild rice? I just know it from having soup at an establishment that we used to go to, and it's much different consistency. You would look at it and say, whoa, that's rice. What is that? So wild rice much different. But we're talking avocados today. I want to get sidetracked on wild rice.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about the avocado. Your favorite. Give me your top three applications of avocado.
I like it, with,
number one.
Seafood.
Number one would be?
Guacamole.
Without a doubt. Guacamole. I feel like I'm on Family Feud right now. Number two would be?
Sliced, with, lemon juice. Or what I would do is you cut an avocado in half. You have two halves. You take the pit out, and you score it with a paring knife. You score crisscrosses so you have pieces in there. And then you take a scoop of, say, chicken salad, and you put it right inside where the pit was.
Yeah.
And you can serve it like that.
Ooh. I like that.
And you can use chicken salad, ham salad, egg salad, tuna salad, whatever you want. Or you take a tomato and cut that in half and clean it out and use that to hold any kind of guacamole you put in there. And you can use you can put something else in first, chopped lettuce.
Yeah, I like that. So it's you'll use the tomato, or you use the avocado shell itself as a container.
Yeah,
and then you combine other things with it. All right, talk to me about. One of the things that that I had at your old restaurant that I enjoyed immensely was a dish called the Mixed Seafood Grill. And one of the things that was part of the Mixed Seafood Grill was avocado. Avocado and seafood, yay?
Yeah. Bingo. You're in the front row with that. And what I did at Sanders is I made a sauce. It was called a beurre blanc. It's butter, a half a bottle of wine you cook down with shallots and until it's about a tablespoon of syrup, and then you whisk in a pound of butter over low, low heat, and it takes a while. But that's the sauce that we put over avocados and put shrimp on it, and grilled shrimp. We would grill the shrimp, and that was we used to serve that as a dish called crevettes niçoise, which is just French for shrimp with over avocado. And in the beurre blanc, we put the avocado down, then we put the shrimp on top, grilled, and then we take that beurre blanc, and pour a generous ladle over the shrimp. And it's really best served with rice. That rice soaks up that sauce. And, man, that is my very favorite way to serve avocado with seafood. But you can take guacamole, and you can do red snapper, and you grill it. And then you take a tablespoon, or two tablespoons, and you make like a strip over the shrimp when you serve it. So it looks like a green stripe over the shrimp of the seafood, and it'll be killer with tuna. And you can do the same thing with whatever sauce you have, and put sliced avocado on top of the grilled tuna, and then pour the sauce over that. And the heat of the whatever you're putting it on will flavor that avocado with and heat it up a little bit. And you don't want your slices too thick, no more than an eighth of an inch to a quarter of an inch thick. I mean, I love avocados. I just personally we'll take an avocado and it has to be ripe, and right. Then score it and put salt, pepper, lemon juice, and eat it right out of the shell. I mean, I get a small teaspoon, so I can have more bites and stretch that out, but man, I can eat a whole avocado in a heartbeat. And it's really good for you, good oils. It's a little fattening.
Predictable.
It's because it's so rich, but that's not in my vocabulary when I eat avocados.
Hold on. Let me email question. Mac, I'm curious. How does Kim pick out a good avocado? Because mushiness alone, does that make a good avocado when you're standing there squeezing them? How do you tell? You know, Kim, before you answer that, one of the pitfalls of the day and age that we live in now is fruits and vegetables 12 months a year. Much of it comes Yes. from either other countries, and it looks okay. But you bite into it and you're like, this is cardboard. And you know, I'm talking about especially like out of season, cantaloupe out of season, honeydew melon. You taste it and you're like, this tastes horrible. So so now let's talk avocados. Cause you see it and it looks good. But you know, now this time of year when you're eating fresh, just something, you know, fresh strawberries, fresh cantaloupe, fresh, juicy, real cantaloupe. It tastes delicious. And that stuff they serve you in those little containers in all parts of the season is horrible. So anyway, I'm in grudge mode about it. But avocado.
Okay.
How do you pick out good avocados?
You look at them, if it's a Haas avocado, it should be, the dark skin.
Okay.
If it's a green
Wait. If it's a what avocado?
Haas. H-A-S-S. They're indigenous to California. And they're spectacular. They're my favorite avocado. And then there's Calvos, which is the other avocado. And a lot of time that's from Mexico. And they can be equally as deluxe. But they'll be more green. The skin will be more green. And you have to handle it. You don't want to squeeze it too hard. But when you put your thumb and forefinger around an avocado and you press in, it should be, not hard. And it should give a little bit all the way around. And if your fingers go in too fast, it's probably overripe.
Okay.
Okay.
So what do you want? Now, I my mom used to get them and put them in a paper bag. Does that ring a bell?
Look, if you have an avocado and you think you have good avocados, you get home, you cut into one, and it's not totally ripe.
Okay.
There's two ways you can do it. You sit them in the sunlight it could be only a day, it could be 2 or 3 days, and they'll finish ripening. Or you put it in a paper bag exactly like your mama did. Now, what they do is when they ship avocados, they ship them hard or pretty hard because then they don't get bruised. So you know when you cut into an avocado and you think it's ripe and you cut into it, you take the pit out and you see brown spots. Those are bruises. And that means that it's probably past its prime. But you can still cut around those. You take a teaspoon. If you want to take an avocado out of a shell, you take a teaspoon and you go in on one edge, and then you go around the whole avocado and keep your teaspoon as close to the outer skin as possible, and then once you do it, loop around, then it should pop out onto a plate. And then the pit side will be down on the plate, and then you can slice your avocado. Now, if I'm making guacamole, I will take a paring knife and score it into chunks, and then scoop it the same way into a bowl, so I have big chunks before I mash it, because you want to mash the avocado. But ripeness is sometimes a crapshoot, especially here in North Dakota. So I'm a militant cat about this.
Right.
As well as other things. But this, and the same with fruit, folks. It makes me crazy. And when you're picking a pineapple out, you have to smell the end, where it was attached to the stem. And you should have a nice sweet watermelon smell. I mean, pineapple smell. But back to avocados. The thing is, a lot of times we'll get an avocado and we'll see, oh, this is perfect. This is a little harder. This is a little harder. And so we'll buy all of those because we want two ripe ones right away. And then we go through avocados in groups, Beth and I do, because we are very big avocado fans. But sometimes if they're all ripe, then they'll start to turn. And you have to, you keep them out on the counter until you use them. And if they start to get too soft.
Right.
Then you put them in the refrigerator. Okay?
Right.
Now, when you make guacamole, you have to put your lime juice or lemon juice. I like lime juice. As soon as you put your avocados in the bowl, you squeeze the lime juice right then and there. And then you give it a toss. Now you're doing this so it doesn't turn brown on you. You know how it turns that grayish?
Oh, Catherine, Catherine won't eat it once it turns that gray color.
Okay, here's a trick, folks. When you make your fresh batch of guac,
right?
Then you want to put the rest in the fridge. Okay, you take that and you put it in the fridge, and then you the smaller the container, the better the fact that you don't want a big bowl, so there's too much airspace, and like a smaller bowl from the one you made it in, and then you take the lime, you squeeze it over there, just a wedge to make sure it covers the top, and then you take a piece of saran wrap. Listen closely, folks.
Okay.
You take a piece of saran wrap, and you press it down all the way over the avocado. You don't smash it down. You just want it to seal the avocado from the air.
Okay.
And that's the first piece of saran wrap. And you have that going up the sides, on the sides, not overflow. And then you take a second piece and cover the top of the bowl. And then when next time you pull it out, you pull that saran wrap off the direct contact with the avocado, it'll be just as green as when you put it in the bowl. Now that's a real important tip. That's something you should listen to and make note.
All right, so lemon juice goes in immediately, and then when you go to store it, there's two pieces of saran wrap. The first one goes over the top so that no air interacts with the guacamole. And where does the second piece go?
Over the top of the bowl.
Over the top of the bowl. Okay, got it.
Yeah, it's over sealed, but that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah,
I'm just like Catherine. I don't like the brown. I'll eat it. And if you stir it in with the rest of the avocado, and it's just a little layer, maybe no more than an eighth of an inch on top of the fresh avocado, and you can take a soup spoon and just scoop that dark stuff off, and then you'll have your green avocado underneath it.
Yeah, I just stir it.
I don't want to lose anything. I don't want to lose any of the flavor and the color of the guacamole.
All right, hold on. I email for you. Two pieces of saran wrap. Does Kim wear a belt and suspenders too? Do you double down on your pant security with a belt and suspenders there, bro?
I don't wear a belt. I don't wear suspenders because I'm sitting here talking to you in my boxer shorts, and I happen to love. If I could be naked all the time, I would be.
All right, my flower child. So you're not.
Yeah.
So you're just your devotion is to the food and the way you like it, not necessarily to constantly doubling down on security and other things.
No. It's the quality of the food and the flavors that you taste. And even if you cook something, like a soup, it's better the next day.
Oh.
Because all the flavors have a chance to marry. with an avocado, a guacamole. You have to cover it so the air doesn't hit it, and it oxidizes the avocado and turns color. And it's just, why waste the food? Just cover your guacamole, and then you don't have to. You can just put it over the guacamole. Just make sure that there's no air going to creep in around the side of the bowl.
Okay.
And you know,
couple,
that's just me.
That's a great
email. I don't know that I wore a belt.
They just have two pieces of saran wrap. Couple of questions. I don't think I've ever found a dish that avocado did not make better. Specifically, any fish that I've ever served, a few slices of guacamole makes it absolutely delicious. Healthy, tastes great. I'm with Kim. I absolutely love the avocado, but I've also used it with chicken. I use it with steak. There's, as I said, there's not too many things that I serve that I won't throw down avocado with it. And it's such a versatile food. You could put a little bit of salad dressing on it. You could put a sauce on it, but it's very forgiving and it always makes the meal better. Thank you for the tips on ripening, though. I've always wondered about that.
And also with the avocado, it's just such a wonder fruit, and it has so many. It goes with everything: every chicken, meat, steak, pork, you name it. I've had avocados in my omelet.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? How do you not have an avocado in an omelet? How do you not have an avocado in a BLT? I mean, it's just, come on! It's just like
my wife had a hamburger yesterday. We went down to Costco in Fargo, and it had guacamole on it.
Of course,
and in fact, she's buying avocados to reproduce this on a hamburger today, I'm pretty sure, that she'll walk through the door with a bunch of avocados. So it's so cool we're talking about it today.
Interesting.
But, yeah, and she had, it was a piece of pepper jack cheese, a nice double, two slices of pepper jack on her burger, that was melted with a monster dollop of avocado on top.
Oh,
and, man, she devoured it. I said, geez, that looks really good. That's usually my hint for let me have a bite. And she said, don't forget it, man. Don't even go there.
Don't even go there with me.
You could have got a hamburger.
All right, one more question.
Yeah.
Mac, the part of out-of-season fruit or avocados, I'm not, and then in parentheses, I'm not sure if an avocado is a fruit or a vegetable. What is it? Is it a fruit or a vegetable?
I thought it was a fruit.
All right, I'll check here in a second. Where does one get avocados out of season? My experience has been avocados aren't nearly as awful as the fruit that you were talking about. I'm with you. You'll go by a store and you'll see it in a clear container and it looks delicious. You open the container and you start eating it. It is hard. It is rubbery. It doesn't even taste like either cantaloupe and honeydew melon are the ones that I see most often. But I seem to have better luck with avocados, or maybe the avocado is just more forgiving relative to being produced in different environments. Is there a secret during the winter? Or is it simply the same process, squeezing, trying to get them so that they're not too squishy, and then maybe allowing them to ripen for a day or two? Kimball?
That's exactly what you do. You bring them home, as long as they're not hard like a baseball and they have a little give, you can bring them home, put them in a paper bag or put them in the sunshine and leave them for a day or two or three. And then they'll come around. That's the way to do that. But with fruit like cantaloupe, honeydew, cassava, any melon, I usually don't eat them here in the winter because it's North Dakota.
Right.
And I know it's coming from somewhere else. And very seldom do you get a ripe honeydew, even though it smells like it when you smell the end by the stem. You have to let them ripen, and if you're going to take a chance in the wintertime. But in California, it's pretty much year-round with fresh everything.
Well, let me read you. Let me read you. Avocado is a fruit. It's grown on, it's native to South Central Mexico, and it is the fruit of a tree. They're considered berries botanically, a large berry containing a single seed. So it is, in fact, a fruit.
Yeah. How about that?
South Central Mexico, from South Central Mexico to all over the planet.
Yes. And they pretty much get avocados year-round down there.
Right. And now it's the climate. Right, it's a climate. It's kind of a milder, more a little bit warmer, a little bit.
Yeah.
When I say warmer, I say what? High 80s, low 90s, and because you see a ton of them.
Mainly the 80s.
You see a ton of them.
In
north of San Diego, from kind of the, let's see, Escondido area, and north of Escondido, towards Hemet, back behind Camp Pendleton, you see avocados, a lot of them grown on the sides of hills, they had people that cultivate them, and you just see acres and acres and acres of avocado trees. So, kind of interesting little tidbit there. Now that we're into the botanical. One more email. Mac, if Kim could only have one avocado dish other than guacamole, what would he have avocado either with or on? What is his favorite? So, Kim, your favorite. What would you have avocado on?
It would be the avocado on the shrimp on the avocado with the butter sauce on it.
I can
eat that all day long. Shrimp are great. Avocados are outstanding. And that sauce just brings it both together.
I'll tell you what, I've had it on forever is, the thing that I've ate avocado on the most, other than guacamole, is, turkey, bacon, guacamole sandwich. And guacamole with the turkey and the bacon. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Don't even ask for a bite. That ain't happening.
No, unless you want your wrist broken.
Exactly.
The thing is about avocados, that's the point. What do you like? That's what you put on it.
Oh.
I mean, it's not rocket science. It's what's your wheelhouse? What kind of food do you like with your avocado?
Okay, let me tell you,
the avocado is the star.
Let me tell you the little dish that, and I got in trouble at Kim's place once. So we're in there and we're having dinner and, my former wife, Susan, and I, and our kids, more than likely. And so Kim, always come up, and he'd hang out with us for a while. And I said, hey, could I, design my own meal? And he said, you can have anything you want, man. And I said, okay. I want scampi with avocado and a little piece of ribeye steak and some garlic mashed potatoes and some asparagus. And let me tell you, folks.
And did you get it?
Let me tell you, folks. It was off the hook. So I would tell you right behind that, if I had to say one dish, and it couldn't be a sandwich, which is what I eat the most, but it was absolutely delicious. The scampi with the butter and the garlic, and then you got a little slice of avocado with that. Oh.
Yeah. And with the shrimp, how we fixed them for Mac was, and we fixed actually the crevettes, the shrimp and butter sauce dish. We have garlic puree, and we olive oil the shrimp. No, actually, there's olive oil in the garlic puree. So we salt, pepper, lathered up with garlic, and I mean lathered up because that's how I like it, and that's how Mac liked it. And then you grill them, and that garlic gets a little crusty and gets right into the shrimp, and then with the avocado and the butter sauce, of course I did that for him. My God, that's something I would ask to eat. Are you kidding me?
It was awesome. It was and you know what, Kim? There is you said that you like a little bit of crust on your shish kebab. A little bit of crust on a number of things is good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It adds a little bit of flavor. I think I don't know exactly how it works, but to me it adds a little bit of taste to it, and I'm a huge fan of a little bit of crust. So there you go.
Well, when we served the mixed grill that you liked, that was one of the four fish you got.
Right.
Were the garlic shrimp, and it just takes probably less than 2 minutes to cook them, and because the whole point of cooking the shrimp is not to overcook it.
Right.
You want it, when you bite into it, you want it to be not raw in the center, but moist, not dried out, which is what happens when you overcook shrimp.
Okay, now, but most shrimp comes to you, or does it come to you uncooked?
Well, I always ordered it frozen with the head off. And the shell on.
Okay.
And then
uncooked.
Uncooked, yes, okay. Uncooked. And that's the way you go by your supermarket and you see them. They'll have the heads off, but you see the shells on. And that's what you want to do. And then you take the legs of the shrimp and you pull down towards the tail, and that takes the, and then you can peel the shell off. And I always left the tail on because that gets bright orange red. And then when you, it's very, very, cool looking. But you have to devein your shrimp.
What does that mean?
And that means take the poop shoot out. And that is, you'll see a little black line that runs on the top of the shrimp down the back, and you take a paring knife and you cut that in just till you get to that, and then it pulls right out, and then you rinse it in water and then pat it dry, and that's the deveining a shrimp. Now, some you can buy frozen, peeled, and deveined. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But when you buy peeled and deveined, you buy the biggest shrimp you can get. Now, shrimp comes in sizes 8 to 10. That's 8 to 10 to a pound. or 14 to 10, or 16 to 14, and then they get up to the little popcorn shrimp that are...
No, we don't care about those.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't care about it. Yeah, that's not what we like. That's not what we like. All right, another email. Mac, I've read that you can freeze avocados. Yay or nay? Kimball, freeze avocados?
Never.
Never?
I never stand around long enough to freeze. And why would you freeze an avocado? Because you can go to the store and get fresh ones. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can, but it's nothing I would want to do.
Interesting. The Haas avocado, I'm reading about it. The most popular California avocado is the Haas, frequently mispronounced and misspelled as, is it Haas or Haas?
It's Haas, but it's H-A-S-S.
So it sounds like Haas.
It sounds like Haas.
Right, okay.
It's Haas avocado.
Which weighs about half a pound and has a pebbly black skin when ripe. Haas avocados are unique because they're the only avocado variety that is produced year-round. How about that?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's good. We love the Haas avocado.
Talking avocados today. And I said, did you bring avocados home? You did, didn't you? My baby, she knows how to shop. That burger she had, she took a picture of it. Will you send it to him? If she has it, she'll send it to you. Oh God, you're gonna love it.
No.
Anyway.
All right, one more email about avocados. Listening to the discussion today, I'm curious, would you ever serve avocado with shish kebab, kind of as a separate dish, because the marinated beef with a little bit of avocado, to me, sounds absolutely delicious as I sit here in my cubicle waiting for lunch.
Well, listen, that's a great question, and of course you can use avocado with shish kebab. You can slice it, squeeze a little lemon juice on it, but guacamole is what you want to serve with it.
Guacamole. I like that idea, a little chunk of avocado with a little bit of marinated beef. That sounds delicious.
Very good.
All right.
Very good.
What else about the avocado? Anything else before we sign off for the day?
Just eat as many avocados as you can. And by you looking up and seeing that Haas grows year-round in California, and that's where I had my first avocado, and I've been eating them ever since.
Wow.
I'm
just going to give you, I just saw a page as I Googled this. Sauce it up. Smash up your avocado into a tasty green dressing for pasta. The naturally buttery soft flesh won't overpower the other flavors. All it takes is a sprinkling of Parmesan and a couple of fresh basil leaves to serve as a special supper. Wow. How about that?
I'd say that's another dish that would put me in the front row.
Here's one that's going to knock you off your stool. All right. Avocado makes a great addition to any sushi roll. Can you eat sushi?
Oh, I've had avocado in a sushi roll.
Can you eat sushi without avocado?
You can eat sushi without avocado, but
why would you?
Why would you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, sir. Thank you for the little therapy session. To be honest with you, I think a lot of people, rough week, you know. I think we all look around
thank you, Mac. Thank you, Mac, because I needed this as much as you did.
Oh, no. Well, no. I think everybody, you know, you look around on just the weekly fare of North Korea, yeah. China, the Middle East, Russia.
Yeah.
You know, we got the stuff going on with the president. Now this craziness in Alexandria. And it's like, make it stop. Somebody, when's dad going to get home to put an end to all this stuff? And
that's a nice way to put growing some balls.
Anyway, all right, man. Thanks for the visit.
Pleasure's mine, brother.
He
is this afternoon.
All right, he is the chef of All Marine Radio, the one and only Pete Kimball Holmes. The lame week. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Don't touch that dial.